And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, a wild weekend of college basketball. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I just turned up Twitter and I'm seeing Michelle Knezovic on TV last night with Jill Jelinek. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Talking some NCAA tournament. I'm good, but I feel like Michelle living her best life with some hoops going on here.
This honestly was top tier career moment, best weekend of my life.
Nice.
I think it was 21 hours on Friday and then all day Saturday, Sunday. It was awesome. It was freaking awesome. We need more college basketball around here. Damn it.
You need to you need to move to Lexington. You used to live in Lexington, Kentucky, but like Chapel Hill or something where like college right. basketball is all that matters, you know?
Chapel Hill, they got some other things to worry about right now.
I was going to say they could have some big NIT games, but they're not in there.
We're good.
They declined.
You know what? Like, we'll just pass on that one. It's good stuff. Wild weekend of ball here in Nashville. I took in Alabama-Mississippi State game the other day. Was surrounded by Bama fans. That was fun. Really enjoyed that. But congrats to Alabama winning the SEC tournament. It was chalk in terms of the top two seeds getting to the final yesterday, and Alabama handles business against Texas A&M. And I will say, we know the stories that are surrounding that program off the court, and there's a lot of chatter about that just from people I was around this weekend at the SEC tournament. But that team is pretty darn good, and they win the SEC tournament, and they're the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And an SEC regular season championship, and now an SEC tournament championship, and a number one overall seed for Alabama. That team is very, very good.
Yeah, no, very good peaking here. Because Texas A&M, which, of course, handled Vanderbilt in the semis, I thought Texas A&M was really going to give them a run, and they really didn't at all.
No.
They just completely outclassed them. So Brandon Miller is obviously the best freshman in the country. I think he's going to be the highest drafted college player in the country. There aren't many players, period, better than him when he wants to put the ball on the floor and attack like he did this weekend.
Yeah.
And, Noah Clowney, by the way, is another first-round freshman for that team. Long, athletic. They play that Nate Oates, just launch everything style. And you got enough guys who can make enough shots, and that works out for you. So they're going to be right there.
Yep, and Vanderbilt with a big win against Kentucky on Friday, and we wondered, would that be enough to get them in the NCAA tournament? They never really had it in the Texas A&M game on Saturday, and you're talking about your third game in 3 days at that point. Sometimes we see this in conference tournaments, the legs start to go or whatever you want to blame it on, but they just didn't have it against Texas A&M, and we were wondering heading into Selection Sunday yesterday, would it be enough for Vanderbilt to get in the tournament? And the answer is not only no, doesn't even feel like they're all that close. No Vanderbilt in the tournament. Tennessee gets a 4 seed in the Eastern region, and we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But Vanderbilt left out of the NCAA tournament. Joe, your reaction to that and your reaction to some teams that got in ahead of Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament?
Yeah. I wasn't surprised they didn't get in. I thought it was like about 50-50. And then I was like, after I saw the bracket, I'm like, oh, I guess it was about 595,
yes.
Actually.
Wasn't even
so
close.
Apparently totally wrong. That's the thing. I mean, I look at this, and it's like, the Kentucky game, it was such a great performance. And, yes, I do think that it's third game in 3 days, but it's also 14 hours later, that late-night game, and that was such a physical, emotional game. So, whatever, that's what happens. If you're in that spot, just like if you're in the spot Vanderbilt was in earlier this season, then you have to make this incredible run to give yourself a chance. But I think they thought they were in that locker room after the game, and I kind of did too. I'm like, man, I just feel like this team is playing too well now, and it's too many good performances and wins without Liam Robbins
yep.
for that to be a big deal. I think if they would have beat Texas A&M, they still would have been left out. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, they would have beat Texas A&M, and then, they play Alabama yesterday and lose. But let's say it's, like, a decent game. I think most people are like, okay, well, they'll be a 10 seed,
yeah.
And I think they would have been left out, which is what happened to Texas A&M last year. So, I know some people say the conference tournaments don't mean anything. Well, you can look at a lot of teams in the bracket right now and see some impact from conference tournaments if they had, games that meant a lot, but that's some serious disrespect for Vanderbilt. And honestly, I mean, ultimately, like, again, you can't dig that hole. Also, like, listening to the committee chair talk about it, I'm like, are you guys just now just totally going, like, just look at the numbers and that's all you do?
Right.
I some of the stuff he said last night to me, I didn't like hearing, because metrics are very important. But, you know, KenPom and the net, the thing about both of them is they are predictive metrics. So it's not just like what you've done and everything, but it's like, you know, again, it's like you're ranked based on like what you've done, but also predictive, you know, like what you are predictively. And to me, like, and that's fine. It's okay to sort things that way. I feel like the net was used here to judge Vanderbilt, and I don't like that. And there are a lot of teams that got in that I think Vanderbilt would beat right now. But look, it is your whole season resume, and this is a great example of that. If you totally screw around early and just have a terrible November and December, it's going to be hard to come back from that.
Well, and look, I saw Willie Donick was on the Preds broadcast last night, so it was good to see he made it through yesterday and got on the broadcast, because I was worried for a second. I sent out a wellness check on Willie on Twitter, but this was kind of his fear that got realized in this debate that we talked about, and he kind of laid that out yesterday on Twitter as well. Liam on the text line says, it doesn't look like Vandy beating Texas A&M would have been enough. Putting aside my obvious bias for a minute, this focus on the entirety of a resume precludes teams from getting better and figuring out how to be great over the course of a season. Philosophically, where do you guys stand? Do you want teams playing their best as the season finishes to make the tourney, or do you want to be wrong? This from Liam on the text line. Thank you, Liam.
Yeah, no, look, I'm with you, and I talked about it all last week. This is – the committee is – it's a bunch of people sitting around, and, yeah, first of all, they should be watching basketball. I mean, you know, the committee chair, who I forget his name, I'm going to find it right now. You know, it's every year at this time you've got, you know, you've got the committee chair coming out at Chris Reynolds. So he's like, well, we can't watch every game. And I'm like, yeah, no one's asked you to watch every game. But again, like, having gone through that mock selection, there was a lot of, you know, it was like, the results, watching, talking about teams, talking about injuries. But, yes, right now has to matter. What are you now? What can you do in the tournament right now, right? And he made it sound last night like, I mean, other teams he was asked about too, like Oklahoma State or whatever. You know, he was like, well, you know, the non-league, they did this and that. Like, I understand that's all important. The resume is a resume. But, yes, you absolutely should care about what a team is at this moment. Because, like, Vanderbilt right now would beat the absolute crap out of Vanderbilt from December. Some teams you can't say that
even
about.
Without Liam Robbins.
Well, yeah, the way
I'm
they were
saying,
playing.
The way they're playing. Like, yeah. Even without Liam Robbins, they would. Like, it's
– yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I guess you got to adjust to this. You got to think in terms of, you know, making a lot more hay next year. Vanderbilt – should be good next year, but you can't have a 5-6 or even a 7-4 start.
Let's think, like, you can't dig yourself a hole out of the gate, because as we saw, it was really difficult to overcome. And, you know, look, there's a bunch of different arguments that could be made, you know, but as the bracket was going out yesterday, I mean, the Texas A&M being a 7 seed, that's getting a lot of attention around right now. Like, people are irate about that and Texas A&M getting screwed and all this other stuff, but you could kind of tell as the bracket was being unveiled, which took forever, but as it was being unveiled yesterday, like, as it was going on, like, it became clearer and clearer, really, even by, like, the second region that they announced, that, like, I think Vanderbilt may be in some trouble here.
Right. You had the teams that were close with getting into the – and then when you saw Mississippi State in a playing game, you're like,
yeah, oh, boy.
Now, all right, you could make a case for Vanderbilt to be ahead of Mississippi State.
You
but,
could.
But – the committee would not make that case.
Mississippi State committee. Twitter is all over me right now.
Yeah.
This is a problem with being a TV star talking trash about the Bulldogs.
What's
okay?
That one? Is that one Cowbell Twitter? Cowbell Twitter. Hog Twitter. You got all kinds of Twitters in the SEC you got to watch out for.
The Woo Pig Clan.
Woo Pig. Yeah, there's a lot of things you got to keep your eye on when you're out there in the SEC Twitter. But, I mean, look, I think Vanderbilt fans – I think they've got a right to be upset this morning. Like, I was – when I got done watching that Kentucky game, I said, you know what, that's a tournament team. I mean, I understand their resume is what it is, and like you said, Joe, you have to factor that in. So I'm not saying that you just totally excuse the loss to Grambling earlier this year or even the loss to LSU recently. Like, yep. You can't lose games like that. So I get all that. But one of the questions we ask ourselves is, do we think this team could win a game or two in the tournament? And I think the answer from Vanderbilt to me is clearly yes. I mean, they beat Kentucky again. They beat them twice. I mean, I think Kentucky's pretty good. And Vanderbilt, I think, as the year closed out there, and I know that they got drilled by Texas A&M, but I think they're pretty good. I think they're a tournament team. I think Vanderbilt fans have a gripe this morning.
Yeah. And, no, and that's the thing. If you go through just the SEC teams, and you know, the committee doesn't know, okay, this league's got seven, and, well, let's see. I mean, they don't do it that way. They go team by team. But if you just boil this down to the SEC, I'd have more confidence in Vanderbilt right now than actually quite a few of these SEC teams.
Yes.
I would have more confidence in them Tennessee. Than Auburn. Well, maybe Tennessee. Maybe. I mean, I
would have more confidence in Vanderbilt than I've got at Tennessee right now, yes.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. But I would definitely say Mississippi State, Auburn, Arkansas's tough.
Arkansas, question mark.
Arkansas, I don't know. But Mississippi State and Auburn, for sure. You know. Now, again, I'm not saying that they should be ahead of them in the pecking order right. based on resume, but number 19 strength of schedule and these wins they got change your resume. Those wins, when you add them up, just the wins that they got since you know February – I think you could stack them up against some of these teams that got in and say, here are better wins. I just, like, early bad losses and the stupid net. It's just way too much to me was given to that by the committee.
615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. Vanderbilt misses the NCAA tournament. Tennessee, a 4 seed in the East region. We'll get into that coming up next. What's your reaction to Vandy missing the tournament? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation. Speaking of the tournament, this March, take a shot at college hoops with a no-sweat bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account right now. All customers can tip off the tourney with a no-sweat bet. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim yours today. Or if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Rob to get in on the action. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to that 5-12 seed matchup that you've been eyeing as well. We've talked about Alabama. They've been super impressive. How about Memphis making some noise yesterday in the conference tournament? I think a intriguing team to watch heading into the NCAA tournament, but you can take it any way you want to take it. All in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rob to join now or sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account to claim your no-sweat bet today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max bonus bet of $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll have Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24-7 coming up at 6:30. Get his thoughts on the Vols heading into the NCAA tournament. As well, I got a texter that says, Vandy being snubbed is proof committees don't work. Bring back the BCS with multiple exclamation points. Very well done on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Nice.
Chuck very upset on the text line that Kentucky's in with a 6 seed with 2 losses to Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt not making the field, being a joke.
So Chuck says, Kentucky is a 6 with 2 losses to Vanderbilt. Vandy doesn't make the field as a joke. And I said, well, but you can't isolate that. You have to look at their entire resumes. Kentucky has a better resume than Vanderbilt. I mean, like Kentucky was easily in the field. We know this. By the way, Kentucky won at Vanderbilt. Let's remember that.
They did do that.
So what seed did you think? So then he says, you think they didn't get a 6 base on their name alone. It's so funny because so many years in this tournament, Cal's been like, he's like so mad about the seeding. And now No, Chuck, they didn't get the six in their name alone. How about the name North Carolina? Have you heard of that program? Yeah, they're not in the tournament.
It's amazing.
What's your seeding for Kentucky? What do you think they should have been?
I thought they should have been a seven.
I mean, I kind of figured they'd
they
be a seven.
They were a six, seven. I thought they were going to be a seven. They got the six.
Again, here's
unless you're a one or two, I don't know. I don't look too much at it, but.
I mean, so with one other thing to remember on seeding and is that they do have this. So, you know, there's like all these rules they have to make it fit. Now, they've loosened the rules on rematches and like league opponents because football has made it so we have 27-team league. So it's hard to do that anymore. But a team can move up one or two from whatever they are seeded to make it fit. So Kentucky could have been a 7 in their eyes, and Texas A&M could have been a 6 in their eyes, and they made the bracket fit by moving them both. That is possible. I haven't looked at the – I mean, you could try to really, like, dig in on the bracket and see if maybe, like, that might make sense. I know Michigan State 1 year was moved down a seed to make it fit, and they were, of course, pissed about it. But, I mean, that happens. But, yeah, I mean, they're 6 or 7.
Don't be mad at Kentucky. Be mad at Mississippi State. Okay, Vanderbilt fans?
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt is better than them.
Mad at the committee, who apparently had Vanderbilt as like the 94th best team in the country.
That is absolutely bizarre to me that they were not first four out. And UNC, Clemson?
Yeah. And the thing is, Chris Reynolds also said at one point, he's like, well, the net, you know, it's just a sorting tool. It was when he interviewed with ESPN. He's like, well, you know, we just use it to sort. And I'm like, there is no way that you didn't, look at it with Vanderbilt and dock them.
There's no way.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't buy that. I disagree with that.
William from Madison on the text line says, hey, it's not all bad for Vanderbilt. When I went to bed last night, they were the 3 in the NIT, and now they're the 2, so tomorrow I guess they'll be the 1. It's from William from Madison on the text line. Yeah, apparently the NIT bracket was incorrect at first and now has been rectified, and Vanderbilt's a 2 in the NIT.
Yeah. Yeah, so they
get excited.
The NIT needs more of a committee to put its brackets together.
Very encouraging.
Count things up. But yeah, Vanderbilt. So Yale coming in here.
Yeah.
So the Brainbusters opener, and then and then it could be Michigan coming in here on the weekend. So Vanderbilt fans will be interesting to see if they, you know, how much they show up. They showed up at Bridgestone.
They did
well. Pretty well.
Speaking of Bridgestone, Gunner on the text line says, was that Joe right behind the announcers Friday night in the Kentucky Vandy game? Probably my favorite part of the SEC tournament and why I wish it was still going on. You got a lot of camera time for Joe Rexroth over the weekend directly behind the broadcast.
Like right there. And, you know, my coworker John Hollinger took the seat to the right. And then I got stuck with that one. And, my gosh. That fat face filled that screen so many times, and I got so many texts about it over the weekend and tweets.
I think I texted you like 3 times about it. I'm sure you're like, Robbie, will you please shut up at some point over this weekend?
Kyle Tucker got it yesterday.
I told Kyle, I'm like, you know what, man? The Athletic needs you to pretty up the Athletic here on TV.
I had the perfect seat. I was diagonal behind him, right behind Jimmy Dykes. There it was perfect. He hid me.
Just great stuff over the weekend. Joe, Tennessee, a 4 seed in the East region. So the Greensboro part of this that we've discussed many times, not a reality for Tennessee Vols. They're going to be in Orlando, as you're very familiar with.
And yeah, thanks.
A nice 8:40 local time, but 9:40 Eastern time start coming up later this week for Tennessee. So looking forward to that later this week. What did you make of Tennessee, the loss to Missouri in the SEC tournament, and now ending up as a 4 seed taking on Louisiana coming up on Thursday?
I thought Tennessee's resume was still a 3 resume, but they haven't played well. So I guess, I don't know, I guess they watch them play.
So. I guess so.
But with Tennessee, we watch them and say, knock them down a spot. But I did think they'd be in Greensboro, which is why I had to cancel a flight last night. But, you know, this happens.
It does.
It's so exciting to book a flight to Orlando. But they have more chilies in a 1.3 square radius area. It's amazing.
I assume it'll be warm, so that's good.
That's true. No, it's not a great draw, except it's funny because I looked at a lot of analysis last night, watching the analysis, and there's a whole bunch of, well, that's a great draw for Duke because Duke just won the ACC tournament. and we all think it's going to be Duke against Tennessee, or I don't know. I mean, Seth Davis immediately, Louisiana, there's a lot of people that are going to pick Louisiana to beat Tennessee. But, you know, it's funny, all year long, if you told me, like, Tennessee and Duke are going to play here, there, or in a neutral site, I'd be like, Tennessee will probably beat them soundly.
Yeah.
Now, Duke is it's the freshman, loaded talent, and they've gotten better. So, I mean, they're dangerous. But I think people that are just dismissing Tennessee here are wrong, except if you tell me right now that Louisiana wins by 12 Thursday, I'm also not shocked. I mean, I have no idea. Tennessee is Tennessee's worst enemy, and Tennessee is absolutely good enough to be in New York City in the Sweet 16. So we'll see. Louisiana is, you know, it's a tough draw. You're a four. Those 13s can be really good.
Yep.
I mean, Kent State, if anybody's watched Kent State, who they have Indiana, right? I think so. I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you right now who I've got on my bracket. Not Indiana. Kent State is really good. So the 13s can be good. Jordan Brown is, I mean, he's a former McDonald's All-American five-star, was a Pac-12, like, sixth man of the year at Arizona. And in that league, he's absolutely dominant. So they got a great player to deal with. What's that?
This is why I love you. You can break down Kent State.
Well, they have this dude, Sincere Carey. He's amazing, man. So all last week I worked on NCAA capsules. So we have like capsules of all the teams. So yep. I did a fourth of them. But those two teams were two of the teams that I had. So I watched them. Yeah. Anyway. Sincere Carey is awesome.
Also, Furman, since we're throwing out our Cinderellas
there
right
you
now.
Go.
Furman over Virginia.
The Paladins.
There you go.
Yes. I'm not down on that one.
I put this out there on Twitter yesterday for the Tennessee fan. I sense zero optimism. I mean none. There's none from Tennessee fans. And I get it. I totally understand it because Ziegler's hurt and they've not played well, all these things. They are a four seed. I mean, a 4-5 matchup against Duke, I still think it'd be pretty interesting for Tennessee. Like, I don't think that they just have no chance to beat Duke, with Ziegler out.
No. Look, Duke looked great this weekend. I think Duke also could be – every year there's, like, some teams that look super hot in their conference tournaments and everybody starts getting on them. You know, it's like, ooh, watch out for this team, and they lose right away. Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
That dude's still there, who I butcher his name. I mean, 2 years ago, he was like one of the stories of the tournament.
Yep.
That dude could put 38 on Duke and beat them in the first game, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Look, we see this all the time. I mean, that's these things happen in the NCAA tournament. Now, that region, the East region, when you got Memphis in there, Tennessee, Kentucky's in there, Michigan State's in there, Marquette's in there, that's a – beyond the fact that just Tennessee's in there, that's a very fascinating region to me. How about Memphis sneaking up and winning the conference tournament yesterday?
Yeah,
taking down number one team in the country. Now there's injuries involved.
Right, Marcus Sasser didn't play, but still, no, Kendrick Davis from Memphis. That is a very good team. And by the way, that was the opener for Vanderbilt. That would have been maybe that made the difference if they would have won the very first game against Memphis. No, Memphis is a very dangerous, very good team. And, the region is, it's interesting. I think it's stronger than some of them. I like Purdue. I think, you know, Purdue, Tennessee in the Sweet 16 rematch 4 years later could be interesting. I mean, the thing is, Tennessee has more big people to throw at that guy than just about anybody if they get there. I'm already talking about the Purdue-Tennessee Sweet 16 matchup, everybody.
Looking forward to it. Coming up next, speaking of Tennessee, we'll be joined by Wes Rucker from Go Vols 24/7. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols heading into the NCAA tournament, his thoughts on the bracket as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Looking ahead to the NCAA tournament, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7. Wes, good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right. How y'all doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Wes, we were just talking about it. Tennessee falls to a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. They'll take on Louisiana coming up on Orlando on Thursday. What did you make of the, I guess, the draw for Tennessee in the bracket, and what do you make of this matchup coming up against Louisiana?
Yeah, I think fair is the first word that comes up for it. You know, I think it's about fair. Tennessee should probably be a 4 seed right now, considering the full body of work. I don't dislike the draw for Tennessee. Really, I think that certainly Louisiana, you know, as 13 seeds go, is a pretty dangerous one. You know, Jordan Walker is a very good big man. They got some guys who can give you some trouble, but. And that's a game Tennessee should win, if I'm being honest, even without Zakai Ziegler. And then, of course, you know, if you get past that first game, the real tournament starts. And Duke's certainly a tough team. You know, Duke's playing a lot better lately. That's a tough matchup. You'd probably rather play them in Orlando than Greensboro, so they kind of caught a break there. But there's certainly nothing there's some tough matchups for Tennessee in that game. And then if you get past that, you go to Purdue in the Garden, which you know what you're getting when you play a team like Purdue. So, I mean, the road is challenging, but it's supposed to be, right? I mean, you're not supposed to play easy walkover kind of games in this tournament, really. So I think Tennessee got a pretty decent draw. I don't think it's an impossible draw, but for Tennessee right now, they got questions they got to answer.
Yeah, and some of the same things, you know, that's what's interesting, Wes, is, you know, of course, Rick Barnes talking the other day after the Missouri loss about, you know, some things that are, I guess, kind of maybe naturally going to happen. You lose your point guard, like even just, oh, it's you're the guy who needs to be back on this, right, in transition, gave up a couple runouts maybe because they, you know, kind of messed that up. But I thought that, well, Mayshak in particular, especially defensively, I thought you saw this weekend, like, they're fine there, and I feel like he, you know, offensively, we'll see. He had a really good offensive against Missouri, but I feel like he needs to be on the floor to guard the opposing point guard. What do you think about him and just where they are in terms of replacing Ziegler?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, and I think it's funny that you mentioned Mayshak as the guy, because Mayshak, just the night that Ziegler got hurt, that very night, I talked to Jemima Mayshak, and he said, you know, you don't replace Zakai Ziegler. There's things that he does that nobody else on his team can do. There are things that he does that really nobody else in the country does exactly like he does them, you know, and the energy he provides. There's a lot of things that he is very unique in as a player, just because of his size, his strength. There are things that he does that other guys are going to have a hard time doing, but that's sports, right? You gotta go to the next guy, and Mayshak's a guy who can defend the ball because there's some guys on that roster, especially now. I mean, Josiah Jordan-James is not as mobile as he usually is. Julian Phillips not as mobile as he usually is. Those guys are dealing with injuries. Tyreek Key not as mobile as he usually is. They're just not. They're not moving as well. They got bum ankles or hips or knees or wherever they are. But right now, Mayshak's a guy who is healthy, and he's a guy who does have twitch, who does have, you know, good size and length for the guard position. He's a guy who can do those things. So, yeah, I think Mayshak's got to be on the floor a lot because he can stop the ball. He can prevent some of those runouts from happening maybe. There are things he can do because of his size that Ziegler can't. So, I think by making the most of a tough situation, yeah, I think you're going to have to see Mayshak on the floor quite a bit.
Wes Rucker with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Wes, we were talking about this. I sense zero optimism from Tennessee fans. Zero. And I get it. You know, that Ziegler's out, obviously, and they've not played as well coming down the stretch here. But I almost feel like Tennessee fans need a shot in the arm. Why should Tennessee fans be optimistic heading into the NCAA tournament?
Well, because you still have one of the better defenses in the field, I think. You know, it's a different defense without Ziegler. The ball pressure he provides, it changes things quite a bit. It makes other guys have to do what they do. But it also makes you a better rebounding team. It makes you a little bit more, you know, strong as a team. There are things that you still have that they're pretty good. I mean, it may not be quite the same defense without him, but it's still a really good defense. It's still really good. They still can do things out of that set, and then they have some size, and they can kind of go get you that way too. So I understand why people feel the way they do. Really, I do, because there's not – I don't know if the ceiling without Ziegler is as high as it was before. Well, if we're just being honest, it's not the same team. That doesn't mean it's a bad team. That means it's a team that's got kind of a – you don't have to get an inside straight draw, but you have to do things – there are things that you do well, and now you have to do them well. They're not quite as optional for you to do well. So I think they still have the ability to go be a good basketball team. They just have to go out there and do those things. I mean, what they did against Mizzou was not bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It gave them a chance to win the game. They just could have played a little bit better. Then it wouldn't have been an issue at all. They'd have won the game.
So if there's one guy on this team, Wes, offensively, who you would pick for Tennessee, say, you know, this, not just, you know, playing well, but also like getting opportunities offensively, who would that be? Who comes to mind? I mean, let's take Vescovy out of it. If he can get shots, obviously you're trying to get him shots, but anyone else on that roster who you'd say, this guy has a good weekend offensively, opportunities and plays well and shoots well, who would it be?
I think Julian Phillips is going to be a big key for this team because he's a guy who, especially without Ziegler, they don't have as many creators. But Phillips is a guy with his size, his length, the game that he has. I mean, don't forget, this is still a guy who has some people are still projecting him to go late in the first round as a freshman. This kid has got a lot of game, and this is a time for him to show it. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to put the ball on the floor. He's got to get to the rack. He's got to get tough twos. If he's doing that, I mean, he needs to be scoring 12, 14 points a game at least right now. They need him to go out there and score because James, with his knee and with his ankle, he's going to be a little up and down. He's not the same player. He doesn't have the same explosiveness that he normally does. He's kind of more of a catch-and-shoot guy, a little bit different. But Phillips is a guy who can do some of that stuff. And if Phillips is not going to do it, then Olivia Cumwah has to do it. But one of those guys, better be scoring 15 points in a game or the math gets hard for Tennessee to win these games. One of those two's got to be scoring the ball.
Wes, looking around the rest of the conference here, what did you make of Texas A&M being a 7 seed in the tournament and Vanderbilt not getting in the tournament?
Joke, honestly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's okay to punish a team for not playing a tough non-conference schedule most of the time. There are exclusions there. There are exceptions there. Texas A&M being a 7 seed is not just unfair to Texas A&M. It's unfair to everybody else in that region. If you're Texas, worked all season to be a number 2 seed, and your reward is if you win your first round game, you're playing A&M in the round of 32, on what planet is that fair? On what planet is it fair if you're Texas and your second game in the tournament, if you get one, is against a team that finished second in a league with 8 NCAA tournament bid teams in the league? It's a joke. That's a joke. It's unfair to everybody in that region. It shouldn't happen. That's bad. And I do get the decision on some level most of the time to punish a team like that, right? You reward a team like Tennessee for the schedule it played and the wins it had, and then you punish a team like A&M. I would understand that, but when you do that, you're not just punishing that team, you're punishing all the other teams in that region. So I don't think that's fair at all. I think that as a 7 seed, honestly, if I'm A&M, the past 2 selection Sundays, I'm wondering what I've done to irritate the community, because obviously the community is not happy with something I'm doing in my program.
Maybe it's buzz. Could be buzz.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe they don't like the suits. I don't know what it is. The gum chew on something. I don't know.
That was weird the other day. I was like, Stackhouse and Buzz. I was like, wow, 2 coaches with really nice suits on coaching.
What's going on over here?
What about Vanderbilt, Wes? Stunned by that? Surprised by that?
I'm not surprised by it, honestly. I think it's a shame because you've seen this throughout Stackhouse's tenure, right? They play so much better late in the year. He gets them playing their best basketball by the time of the year. But if they get started earlier, they don't have to worry about this. It's a shame because I think there are teams that got in as at-larges that Vanderbilt would beat on neutral floor today. I really do believe that. But That whole last 10 or whatever it is, they don't really care about that at all anymore. They look at the whole body of work. And Vandy's just got to find a way to get going a little sooner. It does. It's a shame. But when you look at it, the way the bubble was, look at the teams other than that got in, I don't know that you could look at any of those teams and say, yeah, for sure, Vandy deserves to be in over them. You know, and it's a shame because there's teams in this league, like, you know, you could say Tennessee's one of them, I guess. I wouldn't, but I think you could say that. Like Auburn, there are some teams that got kind of overseeded a little bit in this tournament. But the second you saw that State was going to the first four, you knew Vandy was out right then. You just knew it was. That's just how it was going to be. It's a shame because if Stat can get someone in that program to help him recruit a little bit more, or he can recruit a little bit better, then they can take that and use that situation he's got with developing his players, and they're not going to have to worry about this because they'll be much, much better. And it's a shame, though. It really is. But I look at the full body of work and I say, it's maybe not quite enough, but, you know, it's a shame because they're playing good ball right now.
Well, Wes, great stuff as always. Looking forward to the tournament getting rolling coming up on Thursday. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll look at the entire bracket as a whole coming up next. Get your thoughts on that as well, 615-737-1025. Make sure you join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play right now or sponsor and donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Play hooky and join 1025 The Game at Jasper's, located at 1918 Weston Avenue, this Thursday for the first day of tournament games. And while you're there, take advantage of the Shot in a Beer special. That's a shot of Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Whiskey plus a bottle of domestic beer for just $10. Jasper's, they've got an oversized bar, TVs, and a game room that make them the place to be to catch all the games. Make sure you check that out coming up on Thursday as the tournament gets started. 615-737-1025, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Joe, speaking of the tournament, the bracket is out, and I assure you that I will have a perfect bracket. Trust me, it's going to happen this time.
I believe it.
I think so. Alabama, the number one overall seed. Houston snagging a one seed as well. Kansas and Purdue rounding out the one seeds in the bracket. Some very intriguing first-round matchups as well. You brought up Indiana-Kent State, which I know you're going to be all over. Looking forward to that one coming up later this week. But Texas A&M and Penn State, as Wes brought up in the last segment, Texas A&M a 7 seed, Kentucky taking on Providence, which I know Michelle is very much looking forward to coming
up. Yeah, really, the first round, like...
B-hop!
I know.
I saw your tweet.
You scared of Providence?
I mean... They're not a cupcake. I mean, listen, they couldn't beat a cupcake team last year, so maybe this will be different. But no, one of their former players now lighting it up in with the Friars.
Yeah,
he's gonna be motivated.
I know
he is. But some interesting matchups out there. We've talked about Tennessee in their matchup against Louisiana, but the 4-1 seeds: Alabama, Houston, Kansas, and Purdue. It's really interesting to me, like Alabama. Can they put it together? Can they keep going long enough? I still wonder, like, if somebody can play good enough defense to shut them down on the perimeter, can they overcome that? We'll see what happens there. But, I mean, they're the number one overall seed. They're going to have a good chance to win the tournament.
Yeah. I've already had to fill out my Final Four. So I can tell you that in that region, I went with Arizona. I watched the Arizona-UCLA Pac-12 title game. Man, Arizona is really good. That would be an amazing game. If we could somehow get Arizona-Alabama playing each other in Louisville in the Elite Eight, that would be an amazing game. But I'm trying to think, you know, I think Alabama's got a pretty good path. Like a team like Virginia, if they get out of Orlando, they're going to be, you know, in the same building with Tennessee. So I get to watch some Tony Bennett basketball.
Get excited.
Oh, God. If I could just – bring John Glennon in to have to watch this from what 40?
Nah, it's going
to
be Furman.
8-44. Well, it could be, but you know, but they, as hard as it is to watch Virginia sometimes, that is the type of team, because they're so sound defensively and they slow the game down so much. Yep. That could be problematic for Alabama. But yeah, I mean, like, also definitely. I mean, the Paladins could absolutely beat them, and honestly, for the good of humanity, that might be okay. This is another thing with Vanderbilt. Like, Vanderbilt's fun. Like, they're fun to watch. You know, like, I hate to keep going back to Vanderbilt and twisting the knife, but like, they would have made the tournament better because that's a fun basketball team to watch.
You just want Virginia to be permanently excluded from the tournament. That's what we've determined here.
In the year 2000. You know, Michigan State won the national championship,
yeah.
And Dick Bennett, Tony's dad, who is the nicest guy ever, was Wisconsin's coach. I had to cover 4 Wisconsin-Michigan State games, including the final freaking 4. They were a terrible 8 seed that somehow beat Purdue and got there, and every game was like 49-46. It was awful. So I still, going back to Dick Bennett and all the way through Tony Bennett, I respect what they do. I just don't like watching it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't like watching it either.
Yeah, I mean, you are a college basketball hater, so like you texted me the other day, hey, let's see if one of these teams gets to 30 by halftime. I get it. So we need more Vanderbilt, less Virginia.
No question. There's always the 5-12 matchup that people look at. You've got San Diego State and Charleston in the South region, in the Midwest region. You got Miami and Drake in the 5-12 matchup. St. Mary's and VCU. And then in the East region, of course, it's Duke and Oral Roberts. Which 5-12 intrigues you the most? A lot of people riding high on Charleston and San Diego State.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the 5-12s are the ones that you know people like to point to a lot. Yeah, you know, that's, I don't know. I don't have, I mean, I think that I'm struggling right now to read my bracket. I'm squinting right now at my bracket, which is 2. Like, seriously. I've been trying to pause. Like I don't have the eye power anymore to read the bracket in front of me. This is a very sobering and sad moment on the show.
That's a great moment.
Yeah. So now I'm trying to find a bigger bracket. But it's interesting because I actually do kind of think that the 13s might be a little more interesting this year. Charleston, San Diego State, I feel like that's – I haven't been able to watch either of those teams too much. Drake's good. You know, Drake's good, but I like Miami. I will tell you, if there's one that I think there's a super overseeded team in this tournament, it's St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a great example of the metrics are great for them, and they're good.
Right.
But like, I watch, and I know like sometimes games get out of hand, but I watch them play Gonzaga in the title game, and Gonzaga won by like 28 or whatever. But I don't see players on that team that really really moved the needle. Now, VCU plays that style. I think that's one. Look, I think Oral Roberts is a threat. No one's going to pick Oral Roberts to give Duke a game. I really don't think they will. I think Duke won the ACC tournament. The teams that play great in the conference tournaments, people are always on them, and there's always at least a couple who totally fall flat on their face after. And I'm just saying, man, I think Oral Roberts could really make things interesting against Duke.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben from Cumberland City on the text line says, Vanderbilt not making it in the tournament is criminal. Save the body of work or help with recruitment, the last caller said, I think talking about Wes. I'm a Kentucky fan, and that Vandy team earned it. They should be in, period. This from Ben from Cumberland City on the text line. What do you think is going through Jerry Stackhouse's mind today? Is now they have to prepare for the NIT, and obviously, I mean – look, he was fired up after that Kentucky game. I don't know if you saw him on the set of the SEC Network or not.
He
was fired up after that win. And I agree with you. I think they probably thought they were in there. But what do you think is going through Jerry Stackhouse's mind today?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that had to be pretty disappointing and sobering. That's the thing. It's like, okay, now you have a game tomorrow. And it's a home game. And you want your fans to show up and, you know, and you want to make another run in the NIT. I mean – you don't want to make too many runs in the NIT, you know? It's like,
you do not.
It's like, that's great, but, you know, you don't want that to become like the tradition. But last year, I think it helped him. I mean, it was a good thing for him and them to make that run. They looked good. They were playing really well. The game against Belmont was exciting. So, The thing is, like, that's what's sad, I think. I think Stackhouse feels this, and he said it, and I agree. Like, this is a special team, what they've become now. And so it's just too bad. But, yeah, stay together and keep playing basketball, you know? I mean, if Michigan comes in here, obviously it gets overshadowed. It's on the weekend with the NCAA tournament going on, you know? But that's a fun game. That's kind of a big-time game of two teams that, you know, are good enough to be in the field.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond there. Looking forward to Tennessee and what they can do in the tournament. Can they figure things out offensively enough without Zakai Ziegler? And it is an intriguing matchup against Louisiana. Everybody's going to be looking ahead to Duke and Tennessee. And I'm interested to see how Tennessee responds against Louisiana. They got to get there first. And, you know, I don't know what you're going to get from this Tennessee team on a game-by-game basis. And that's a scary place to be come tournament time.
Well, they need to go ahead and just do the thing that apparently Georgia football is still allowed to do, and whoever else out there, like, they actually are being disrespected. They actually are being doubted. So use that. Like, a year ago, we're all talking about Final Four for Tennessee, and of course they're going to get through those two games in Indy. Well, right now, people are immediately saying, oh, upset special Louisiana,
yeah.
And everybody's writing Duke in on their bracket. So, like, get mad. Like, you, the pressure, like you said, Tennessee fans aren't excited, don't have a lot of optimism. That also should relieve some pressure. That you, like, feel that, you know, use that. But just be smart. Like, they just don't hurt themselves and make dumb plays. They're way too good for Louisiana, and I think they're too good for Duke, but we may see. We may get to find out.
Coming up next, it was a wild move in the NFL over the weekend that changes the dynamic of how the NFL draft is going to go down coming up next month. And today is also the beginning of the legal tampering period in the NFL as well. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.